Snacks Artist, so you can go to the opening for more than just the snacks.
Razzle Dazzle is a new exhibition showing a suite of previously unexhibited works from 2005 to 2006 by Martin Thompson, opening tonight at Charles Nanno Gallery. Martin Thompson was a self-taught artist from the Wellington region who became renowned for his abstract drawings. Although embodying these digital post-internet and almost early video game-like qualities, Thompson's work was shaped and directed by fractals, which show how simple mathematical rules can generate the complex structures we see in nature. The works in Razzle Dazzle show Thompson extending and upscaling his drawings beyond A3 and A4 graph paper, using a decidedly anti-digital approach with a Xerox machine, inviting an inspection of the work's delicate complexities. I had a kōrero with gallery director and curator Charles Nanno about Martin Thompson, his life and practice.
Martin Thompson was a self-taught artist, which and self-taught means, well, generally means that the artist didn't go to art school. And, you know, there was a time where that kind of artist was widely referred to as an outsider artist, meaning that they were outside of the mainstream system for producing artists and for selling art, or sometimes they did enter the mainstream system for selling art. But anyway, self-taught is the name that people use now, which is probably a better name, and it's the one I use. So he's an artist who is self-taught, but very much had a very strong practice, with very strong through lines for much of his life. But it wasn't really until, from memory, and I might be getting this wrong, around his 40s, really, where he started to gain some acclaim for his work. So he was born and raised in Wellington, and he actually lived in Dunedin for the last few years of his life because it reminded him of Wellington at an earlier time, which is quite sweet. And he used to also attend a workshop, sort of an art workshop called Pablo's, which I think is still going in Wellington. And one of the tutors there, Stuart Shepherd, sort of saw what he was doing and, you know, was like, this is amazing. And so, you know, started, I guess, creating some opportunities for him. So, you know, he exhibited, I'm sure, more than once in the Outsider Art Fair in New York. They set up an Outsider Art Fair. I don't know if Stuart set up particularly, but there he certainly was involved in an Outsider Art Fair here in New Zealand, Aotearoa. And all of those things that they did for Martin created a lot of momentum that sort of resulted in him being shown in the American Museum of Folk Art, which is like, I guess, the mecca, well, certainly in America, for self-taught artists, and he's got works in the permanent collection. And there's also lots of major collections in New Zealand, like museum collections. He's had big solo shows in museums, and unfortunately, no longer with us. Died in 2021, but. Yeah.
Your new exhibition, Razzle Dazzle, is presenting a previously unexhibited suite of works by Thompson, made in 2005 and 2006. I guess with your own relationship to him, when did you kind of first become aware of his work, and what interests you specifically about his practice?
Yeah, I was sort of too young to really, like, catch that first wave of when he entered the art scene, because I'm guessing, well, it was sort of, I guess, around that time when all those big things were happening, around that 2005 mark, you know, so I was probably, I would have been fourth year at art school, so I probably was less aware of, I guess, things that were happening in the market than, and obviously, like, anything happening in the market was super uncool to us. So. But I became, I honestly don't know exactly how I became aware of his work. My first business was a small boutique auction house, and we sold quite a few of his work, not that many, but we saw quite a few of his works there, and that's probably where I first got an interest in them. Because the thing is, say, if you're a small boutique auction house, you can't compete for the sort of the McCanns and the Binnies and things. So my strategy, well, one of them was to find artists that nobody was necessarily championing in that market, and sort of put a bit of oomph behind them and make sure you raise the price every auction by $100 at least or something. The price is always going up, yeah. Give it a hype. So that's probably where I first started, you know, having more to do with this work. Razzle Dazzle's a really interesting exhibition because I think you said, presents a series of works that haven't been seen before. And these works were made in the lead up to his first big institutional show, solo show at Wellington's City Gallery. So there's sort of unusual in his overall practice because these works have Xeroxing as a really big feature of them. And so he was always on a quest to make his works bigger because he traditionally, started out just drawing his works on A4 sheets of paper. And he wanted to make them bigger. And so one of the things he tried was Xerox, where he would Xerox elements of his drawings and then cut them up and reorder them and make these much bigger sort of compositions out of them. And he eventually, after doing quite a few of these, he decided that, and they are, it's quite funny because they're perfect. But he decided he couldn't get them perfect enough. That was a big thing for him. He wanted everything perfect. And these are quite beautiful because you can, to everyone else but him, they're beautiful because you can see little cuts and things if you look closely. You can see where the glue is sort of spilled and then being wiped away. But, he ended up producing digital works for that show. But so great to see these.
I guess you kind of touched on it a bit there, but his drawings have this kind of mathematical and technological visual language to them whereby they kind of express this almost pixelation that is reminiscent of the early digital era and early video games even. However, interestingly, they predate the wave of post-internet and digital painting that was a major force in the 2010s, and Thompson did not take inspiration from these subjects. What do we kind of know about his process and how he discovered this mode of making?
What's really interesting is to people out there who haven't actually seen them, they are all of these, as you said, kind of, they almost look digital because they're done on graph paper by filling in squares, but they are, I guess, fractal-like patterns. And it's interesting, he was he was sort of a mathematical savant and very well aware of, I guess, the study of fractals in nature. And I'm not going to try and explain what that was. I sort of get it after reading a tiny bit about it just before the show, but it's hard, I can't explain it. And that's one of the interesting things about him, is that I think people, have this idea of, I guess, outsider or self-taught artists where they're sort of just aware of the theories, but he was very, very aware of the fact that he was riffing on these things, And I guess a lot of fractals, fractal patterns kind of explain some of the randomly occurring, but always subscribing to the same rules, beauty and nature. And so it sort of explains some of the underlying rules to something like, for instance, I think coastlines follow a fractal pattern. And so that was very important to his work. So he would work a square at a time. And the really, really cool feature, which has become like a, I guess, a calling card or a hallmark of his work, is that if he made a mistake on the graph paper, he would, from the perimeter of the page, chop a piece, a fresh piece, and he'd chop out the mistake, and then he would tape the new piece to the back of the work and then try again. And what's really interesting is the back of a lot of his works, they're all held together by tape. They're these beautiful kind of tape collages on the back. So, that's a really interesting feature of his work.
As you mentioned earlier in our chat today, he gained traction as this kind of outsider artist and self-taught artist. What can kind of be said about Thompson as a person and his lifestyle and the relationship to his practice in the art world?
Yeah, it's interesting. I think, so one of the things that as some people love, and I'm in the love camp, and I think some people probably find quite difficult, is that a lot of his works are quite grubby, especially earlier ones. So later on, when he was selling works and he had a bit of a support structure around him. Well, look, I don't know the speech, but from what I see, the later ones that I've seen are quite clean, as they should be. But a lot of the earlier ones have sort of grime and grit and things on them. And so the works on this show as well have the same thing, because he would walk around with a folder of his drawings under his arm and had something of a, I guess he sort of lived on the poverty line and had something of an itinerant lifestyle. I might be saying slightly the wrong thing here, but for instance, I think he lived in a lumberyard for some time. He really liked wood. And yeah, there was a New Zealand television show that did a short segment on him, sort of a late night, quite cool sort of late night arts show from the mid 2000s. And they very kindly have given me permission to use that footage.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And so I'm going to be putting some footage of him, the person, on Instagram, and then you can get it. You will get a sense. It's really interesting because you can get a sense of what he was like. And the like, for instance, there's a segment of him trying to buy a specific color pen, like an orange or something, in Whitcools, and they tell him that it's, you know, it wasn't selling well enough, so it's been taken from rotation. Which is just kind of funny, isn't it? Yeah. So anyway, there you'll get a sense of that. So if you go look on my Instagram, you'll see.
I guess in that sense, how has our kind of misperception of Thompson and his work developed and changed over time? And I guess how does his kind of role as a self-taught artist that maybe wasn't recognized in the same way been interpreted over the years?
Well, it's interesting. Like, I think that this isn't true of everything. Like, I think there's some art that subscribes to fashion that is really good. You know, for instance, like, I quite like, you know, Frank Stella was like an American minimalist, and in the 80s he made really 80s work. You know, it's a super kind of zany in 80s, and I kind of like it for that. You know, the same could be said for someone like Warhol, and I like it for being really fashionable of the era. But then there's also this other kind of archetype of, you know, great things, they sort of follow their own course, and they exist because they exist because of this I guess rare sort of confluence of factors, and I think Martin Thompson is that, and I think it's so much more obvious in hindsight. You know, there's a profoundness to the works, there's like a kind of timelessness, but there's also like I think the narrative thing comes out more strongly than maybe it did years ago seeing them. Like, it's all there, but it was there the whole time, but it becomes more obvious. So, I mean, they're major things. You know, they're major abstract New Zealand artworks.
That was Charles Nino speaking to me about Martin Thompson, his life and artistic practice in light of an exhibition of his works, Razzle Dazzle, opening tonight at Charles Nino Gallery from 6 till 8 p.m. The exhibition is then on until the 18th of October.